investigators. I'm thinking about the family of Tammy Daybell, Tylee Ryan, and JJ Vallo, who are getting ready right now for round two of justice. After Doomsday Cult mom Lori Vallo Daybell was found guilty of killing her kids and conspiring to kill Tammy.
Well, you know what? Inside the courtroom on the fourth floor at the Ada County Courthouse, it was almost a standing room only. And then cheers erupted out in front of the courthouse.
I was at the courthouse each and every day. And every day I would also see JJ's grandparents, Kay and Larry Woodcock. Here's what they had to say after the verdict.
From the very get-go, it started with two children missing. And I stood up and I said, where are the children? Where are the children? Where are the children?
So on the eve of the next trial for Doomsday Prophet Chad Daybell, I sat down with Larry to get his thoughts.
How are you preparing for this trial now?
So we are preparing the same way that we have prepared for the other one. We have to depend on each other. We've been through the worst part, we feel like.
Now, before we dive into the case, I want to remind you that the content is for mature audiences and still might not be for everyone. And at the end of the episode, a special shout out to a listener who wrote a review on Apple Podcasts. Thank you. It really helps independent podcasts like this one get noticed. So please subscribe, hit 5-star, and write a review. This podcast has really skyrocketed in the charts around the world, thanks to you, including Australia, Canada, Italy, Germany, Great Britain, Japan, just to name a few. And remember, we won an International People's Choice Podcast Award, so thank you. Now to the episode. The case against Doomsday Prophet Chad Daybell. Investigators, you're on Deadline.
From the Hollywood Hills to your ear holes, this is True Crime Deadline. A podcast discussing cold cases, murder mysteries, and completely random thoughts. Now, here's your host, a man who stands in front of crime scene tape and talks on the TV box for a living, Mr. Mystery himself, Matt Johnson.
Investigators, thank you for joining me for Season 5, Episode 50, Cult, The Case Against Doomsday Prophet Chad Daybell. One of the most anticipated trials in U.S. history that is full of testimony that will be spellcasting, prophets, gods, goddesses, zombies, sex, portals. Here's some of that testimony that we witnessed and heard during Lori's trial.
Zulima Pastinas was part of Lori's inner circle and follower of Chad and Lori's teachings. On direct, she was asked about castings, light and dark spirits, zombies, and the children, Tylee and JJ.
Did you ask where Tylee was?
Yes.
And what did Lori tell you about where Tylee was?
She said she had to be free.
Okay, so she had told you prior to the move to Rexburg that JJ, too, was being attacked by demons.
Correct.
Okay, what did she say about whether Tylee was being attacked by demons or evil spirits?
Right before she moved to Rexburg, she said that Tylee had been possessed by evil spirit or a demon, and she called it Hillary.
In June of 2020, Chad Daybell was arrested after the remains of Lori Vallo Daybell's missing children, Tylee Ryan and JJ Vallo, were found on his property in East Idaho. Daybell says he didn't do it and has pleaded not guilty to murdering the children and conspiring to kill his first wife of decades, Tammy Daybell. His second wife, known as the Doomsday Cult Mom, was found guilty of the same crimes back in 2023. And as you heard in that clip, I was at the Ada County Courthouse in Boise for weeks, surrounded by media from all over the world, covering the case for Court TV.
Court TV crime and justice correspondent Matt Johnson standing by live outside of the courthouse for us. Matt.
Yeah, she keeps her arms crossed when it's something that she doesn't like to hear. She'll giggle about the witness that's on the stand, sometimes even in front of the jury. People drove for miles, for hours to be here. And during that moment, they were listening with their cell phones, watching online, and then cheers erupted out in front of the courthouse as she was found guilty on all counts.
After the verdict, here is what Kay and Larry told the media.
From the very get-go, it started with two children missing. And I stood up and I said, where are the children? Where are the children? Where are the children?
We are elated with this. There was some doubt we would get all of them, all guilties, but we did it. The prosecution is amazing. The law enforcement is amazing. They became our family, and we're keeping most of them for the rest of our life as family. And even you news people, we've made great friends with you guys. And
journalists.
Anyway, it's great. Our JJ now, maybe we can get him and put him to rest, as well as Tylee, and do right by them, and we'll see how that works. But anyway, we're so grateful, and we thank all of y'all for your support, and we would never be here without y'all. And so many people have reached out to us, and I mean, I have to tell y'all, we even got a message from someone in Tasmania that is following this case. So it's all over the world, and we appreciate all of you, and thank you, and God bless America, because we're grateful we live here. Thank you.
So as we approach the second trial, how might this trial be different? Well, for starters, Chad faces the death penalty. Lori did not. And we expect more evidence like DNA and testimony about Tammy Daybell's death. Plus, the trial will be televised. Recently, I spoke with Larry as he and Kay were getting prepared to make the trip to Idaho.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, hi. I can hear you. I can see you. It's nice to see you. First off, we're gearing up for the second trial with Chad Daybell. And, we're going to hear a lot about him, and we're going to hear about the horrible things that he did. But tell me about JJ and Tylee, because I don't want that to be lost. You know, please tell me about them.
I can tell you volumes about JJ. We knew Tylee well. But Tylee was a teenager. And when we got there, she was really, in a sense, JJ's caretaker. And JJ just loved her. He really did. And she loved him. There was no doubt about it. She was, in a sense, I honestly believe she was as close to JJ or closer than Lori was. Lori has presented herself as this indulging mom and a caretaker. But that's the Lori that presents herself to the public. But in reality, when we were there, Tylee was on a minute-to-minute, hour-to-hour basis, probably as involved or more involved than her mother was. And so, for that, we just absolutely loved Tylee. But on the other hand, Tylee had her teenage friends, and she had a vehicle. So she had lots of friends. But Tylee was also one who she did not like her mother, but she more than accepted her as her mother, because she was her biological mother. But there was always a little distance between them. And Lori stayed mad at her all the time. That frustrated me as much as anything, or more than anything. But, I understand that having to live with Lori could be trying. But on the other hand, if you were with Lori for short times, she was the all-American mom. And she presented that to us. But when you got to talking to Charles about certain aspects of their relationship and certain aspects of their lives. It was a different story. So we appreciate and love Tylee. JJ, oh my God. You know, I could go on for days about JJ. At 65, I got a call from Kay one day. I was at the office and she said, come home. She said, I have to talk to you. And so I drove back home and we lived out more or less out in the country, and I made it home and walked in the back door because that's just the way we are down here. You know, we don't go to the front door very much. We just go to the back door because that's the closest to the kitchen. And so I went in and there was a bottle of scotch unopened and a shot glass and a rock. You know, you're going to have scotch. You got to have one rock. And she said, sit down, we need to talk. I said, okay. And I had no idea that any of this conversation had anything to do with JJ. I was totally blind. And she said, I got a telephone call today from Child Services and we're getting JJ. She said, what's your thoughts? And I said, I stopped and I had to think a minute. And here I was going to be at 65 and I was going to be a daddy. So everything, I've raised four children. Kay and I we have a total of six. But as far as I'm concerned, Kay's two are my children. And because we've been together that long. And so I sit there and I thought about it. I said, and the problem is, and the first time I laid eyes on him, I said, oh my God, that's Todd. That's Kay's son's boy. And so they wheeled Kay out. We got in the car and drove home. And JJ had quite a bit of drugs in him. And when he was born, and he was addicted and with a number of different drugs. But that night was probably one of the real special nights, even though I have four children. I've got 16 grandchildren and we got 8 great grandchildren. But that night was just a little different than all of them. And JJ was extremely agitated. Kay gave him a bath and he cried because that was the first time, other than a nurse touching him, that anybody else had touched him. And he was so agitated. He was crying and just so agitated and crying. And so finally I told Kay, I said, bring him to me. I went in the bedroom. I said, bring him to me. And I started talking to him and I was breathing in his face. And within just minutes, he was just totally calmed down. He and I created a bond that night.
And you carried that bond through his whole life.
His whole life. And to watch him grow from an autistic child, and he was a savant. He was mentally way ahead of everybody else. He, at 3 years old, he was reading, he was writing, he was doing math in his head. And I knew he was special. And finally, about 4 years old, three and a half, 4 years old, I would tell him, I'd say, JJ, I thought his name was Kanan back. I mean, his true name is Kanan Todd Trahan. But I would, and I still called him Kanan most of the time, even though Charles and Laurie had changed his name. But as time progressed, it fit him too. That name truly fit him. We created a bond between ourselves that carried on literally up until a few days before, you know, the last time we talked to him. Kay can tell you the exact days and time and year that we got our last two messages from, our FaceTimes.
Yeah, when if you could take me back to 2019, it was really your call to action that really got the ball moving in looking for the children. I mean, I remember just so vividly you and Kay in my head, like just watching you guys just on TV, you know, just tell us where the children are.
That's all I wanted. Just tell me where the kids were.
When did you know something was wrong?
We got a call weeks, and it may have been a couple of months before that, from detectives in Chandler, Arizona. And one of the detectives that we have befriended and is still a friend of ours and worked with us through this case told us, Kay and I, sitting together, he said, I'm just going to tell you, we don't think they're alive. And Kay and I had really discussed that. And we were trying to prepare ourselves for that, because you certainly know with all the cases that are out there today, when children go missing like that, and the attitude of the two people involved in it was such as it is and was then, that the probability that something has happened. But we just were not going to give up hope ever until we knew there was a body, until we knew that there was two bodies. We were not. What we were praying for, and we prayed about this constantly, please let them be in some hideaway Mormon group and they're alive. And obviously they weren't. And a few months before they found their bodies, Kay and I were out there one day when we went to Rexburg. We went over to the field that they were found in, and we were doing a video interview. And I told Kay and I told them, I said, I think that JJ may be out here. I said, I just have. That's my intuition. And I didn't want to believe it. I didn't want to ever say it again, because if I'd have known he was, and I was that close to me, I mean, we were 100 yards, 150 yards maybe, but probably 100 yards from where they found him.
He wanted to be found. It sounds like, you know, his spirit was talking to you.
Was. And to know that we were right there has been, I believe in my intuition, my whole life, my intuition has guided me through life, and it's done well. And it makes me sad that I was there and I didn't listen to my intuition, because that would have been like, no, that's too that's too convenient. But you know, Matt, we all need to pay more attention to our intuition, no matter what, at least address it. But I have all those wonderful memories of JJ. Went till the day that I die and close my eyes, I hope those are the memories that I retain.
I hope so too, especially because I know that the first trial was hard on everybody, and
yes,
especially you and Kay. And I remember looking at you in the gallery when I was in the courtroom, and you were holding hands. And how are you preparing for this trial now?
So we are preparing the same way that we have prepared for the other one. We have to depend on each other. We've been through the worst part, we feel like, because there's really not a lot of new information as far as we know. I hope there is. I hope there's more incriminating evidence, but we will see. And, you know, as I said in the first trial, Matt, all I ask for those jurors is they have a honest, righteous decision, a true decision. And I believe in the justice system. There's a lot of corruption in our justice system. You know that. But I truly believe in the justice system up there. And I think they're going to do the right thing. And the only thing that I'd ask jurors is you're going to see a lot of things that you can't unsee. And you're going to hear a lot of information that it may take a long time or you'll never unhear. And if you need help, support, get it. We befriended the jurors in the first case, and I can tell you that was part of their after court, after trial. And so I would ask, I hope the court and the state has that available to them like they did the other one. And I hope that everybody uses it. But, you know, we're there. We've gone through it. We've gone through 5 years of this. And Kay and I are just so supportive of everybody involved in this. We just wanted the right decision.
And you have a lot of support there, too, at the courthouse.
Yeah, we do. You know, we are blessed. Rexburg, Idaho is my third home. My home in the farm is where I was born. I still own the farm. I've been in Lake Charles since 65. I grew two very large businesses here. But Rexburg is my third home that I consider my home away from my homes. And the people there are just amazing. But with saying that, I have to say that we have absolutely fallen in love with Boise. I mean, it is such a beautiful town. It's so clean. It's so fresh. No hurricanes. No 12-inch and 18-inch and 24-inch rains. And I mean, you know, snow. But my God, that's fun for a Southern boys, especially for a Cajun. You know, we see snow once every 20 years. And if we get 20 inches of snow in Louisiana, the whole state shuts down.
Yeah. So, Larry, how do you think this trial might be different? I know that there is probably going to be more discussion. I'm guessing there's going to be more about Tammy and about the evidence linking Chad to the property, to where the bodies were found, but also maybe DNA evidence, which is the reason why death penalty was taken off for Lori. What other ideas do you have on how this might be different?
You know, I can honestly tell you from my heart, we don't know. I can't imagine after going through the Lori's trial and listening to the evidence that the prosecution, the sheriff's department, the state investigators, and the FBI don't have additional information, but we don't know. I mean, and that is the truth. We don't know.
Are you going to be allowed to be in the courtroom, both of you, from the beginning? Because I know that that upset a lot of people when you guys were told that you couldn't be in the courtroom in the beginning. I remember that.
Yes. We're going to be there every day. And as I was in the other trial, I'm a natural born caretaker. I love people. And honestly, I get more pleasure out of meeting the people in the area and talking to them and getting to know them. The sheriff's deputies were up there in Boise. They're amazing. The court personnel up there and even the defense. And I know you saw me. I shook hands with everybody. I know them. And all I want them to do is an honest job. Good defense. That's all I'm asking. You do your job. And I promise you, I'm going to do my job.
That's amazing. You're amazing. You guys are like very amazing people. I wish everyone could meet you in person. Meeting you is life-changing. Sell to the earth. You know, that first trial, Lori didn't want her defense to speak badly about Chad, the AKA prophet. Do you think that he is going to point the finger at her?
I think Chad and his attorney are going to roll over her like a steamroller. I think this whole trial, he's going to try to put it on Alex. He's going to try to put it on Lori. It's all they're doing. That's the reason there's over 12 terabytes of evidence. It's indefensible. His own words, his own writings, his own cell phone. That was all given in Lori's trial. You know that. And I'm anxious to see what they didn't give. See, that's the exciting part to me. I want to know the other part.
Do you think he'll testify or do you think she will testify?
I can't imagine Lori testifying. Because if Lori gets on a stand, then she has to tell the truth. And she can't put out chopped salad. She's under oath. Now, does it mean she's going to tell the truth? No. But the jurors love liars on the stand. And a liar is so easy to spot. They'll tell on themselves. All these politicians on TV that get up there and spout this and spout that, and they're lying out their ass. That's so, I can spot that from here to Boise. So all I want, is let's just tell the truth. And I think the truth is going to come out more righteous than before.
So you don't think that he'll take the stand?
I'll be surprised. Look at his demeanor since he's been arrested. He sits up there in his white shirt. He doesn't say anything. His lawyer presents chopped shrimp, and salad, and tries to tell everybody it's filet mignon. I just personally, now I might be surprised, but I hope he does. I truly hope he gets on that stand, but I don't think he will.
You know, I think that more than anything, it would crush Lori because she really believes what she says, the crazy stuff that she says. And she really thinks that she's still in love with him, you know?
Yeah, well. Wait till they start the engine on the steamroller. I'll guarantee you it'll be a different song when that trial's over with. And because I'd have no doubt, and that's just my intuition, this is going to be a trial from the attorneys about everybody was wrong, but the attorney and everybody was guilty except Chad. I truly think it might turn into a comedy, and I truly think if everybody's going to make a movie about this, you could do the first part of it about how serious it was, and then you could, smooth out into a comedy and take it to, Broadway.
And, the thing about it is, like, this is going to be a tough couple months for you guys. And it I know that my prayers and everybody else, you have a lot of supporters around the world, but you have round three in the fall.
Round three and round four. We got Chad's, we got Lori's, and then we'll have Brandon's. And we'll be there for all of them. We're not going to quit on this. And I truly hope and pray that all the other two go to trial too. And first of all, I get a chance to go back to Idaho and then to Arizona. To Arizona. Idaho will be finished after Chad's. So I get to go to Arizona twice. And man, I can tell you right now, there is some great gun stores up there. And I'm an avid shooter. I love shooting clay pigeons and I love shooting pistols. And just, that's how I keep my sanity. I just go out and shoot bullseye.
Well, you have the land for it.
I got it. That's the least of my concerns. But anyhow, we look forward to being with you again. And one night we got to go have a shot of bourbon or a shot of scotch and go eat dinner one night and just visit. And look, tell everybody hello for us. I can truly say that the networks that we deal with from the beginning of this are our friends, and their employees are amazing. You're amazing. I mean, everybody we've dealt with. And I think I'm honest and forthright with you. Kay is the same thing. But now I will say this. Kay is getting burned out. She's still heavy in counseling, and she's been in the last 2 months preparing for this next trial with her counseling.
Wow, you guys are amazing together, and you're such support. Like I said, seeing you at the courthouse together, it's true love, and you guys, my prayers are with you.
A big thanks to Larry for doing the interview. I look forward to seeing him and Kay in Idaho outside the courthouse. And yeah, maybe we will have that drink after all. And I look forward to seeing all of you, the podcast fans I met at the courthouse last year. Be sure to catch me on Court TV for live coverage of the trial. If you would like to learn more about the case, I have a link in my show notes. We also have past episodes. I've been covering this case since before Court TV, when I was at Law & Crime and when I started this podcast. I'll also post some case photos and videos on my website, truecrimedeadline.com. YouTube, social media accounts are under the same name. Please follow. And I really appreciate all of you. Again, this is episode 50. I can't believe we've made it this far. Investigators, until next time.
Thank you for investigating True Crime Deadline with Matt Johnson. For more information about the podcast, visit truecrimedeadline.com. And remember, all tips regarding a case should go to the police. Until next time.
Now, a post-episode shout-out to an investigator who wrote a review on Apple Podcasts. Thank you. This one comes from MK, which is perfect because we were just talking about Kay and Larry, right? Or maybe it's MK. But anyways, 4 stars. And then it says, I really like the way the podcast presents the information in these cases. Thank you. Keep it up. Well, thank you. And again, writing reviews really helps independent podcasts like this one get noticed. We're up against networks, studios, TV channels, you name it. It's easy, it's free. Hit 5 stars, subscribe, tell a friend, write a review, and include your real name if you're a podcaster, because I would love to mention your podcast name as well. Again, investigators, thank you, and until next time.